Hello again, round two today on this night. It's kind of a nice chilly Tuesday. I like that. I'm Bernie Miklas, back for my second video of the day here on the Bernie Miklas channel on YouTube. As always, thank you for your support. Thanks for all of the subscriptions. Please subscribe if you haven't. As I like to joke, it doesn't cost you anything. No one's going to charge you anything. So it's been a busy day. You see, we got the bookshelves back there. Still working on the aesthetic appeal, however, trying to get some stuff displayed. But it's going to be pretty basic, but at least there's something except a wall for y'all to look at. Before we start, I want to talk about the gold glove chances of three Cardinals, because the finalists were announced today. And you have Nolan Arenado, one of the finalists at third base. You have Brendan Donovan, a finalist in the Utility Player Award. And you have Mason Wynn. No surprise, he's a finalist for the top defensive shortstop, gold glove winning shortstop, potentially. So I'm going to get to that in a moment. But first, I want to, and I really appreciate people who, you know, brought this to my attention. I hate making mistakes, but it does happen. When I was doing my video earlier today talking about Sonny Gray, and I was talking about some payroll matters, I've told you, you've seen me look down at notes. You've seen me even hold notes. So I have a lot of notes because I want to be prepared. The irony is sometimes you have so many notes, you look down and you pull the wrong number out of it. So I said that Steven Matz and Miles Michaelis would be making a combined $51 million in 2025. It's $31 million, and I'm embarrassed by the error, and I apologize for it. And again, thank you for letting me know about it. I'll try to be a little more careful next time. You never know, though. Too many notes. All right, let's talk about the Gold Glove candidacy. You know, we don't have any, there's no playoff baseball in St. Louis. It's that used to be the tradition, right? So you're looking for pleasant things, if that's the term. You're looking for pleasant things where you can find them this October. So Rawlings announced their Gold Glove finalists, and I'm just going to get into the Cardinals guys. And I know some people say, well, what about Michael Ciani? Now, listen, I don't even know if he was eligible. Again, that's something I should have looked up. Michael Ciani was really good in center field, but he was going a long time. And I just think there's other people that maybe overtook him at that position. This sounds kind of disrespectful. And I don't mean it that way, but Michael Ciani is really, really good. Don't get me wrong. He really is. But it's not like an outrage if somebody else in the National League wins the Gold Glove for best center fielder. That's just how I feel, because there's some good ones out there. And we can I'll probably talk about, maybe do a follow-up note on that sometime later in the week. All right. I think Mason Wynn has got the best chance to win a Gold Glove. My friend and former colleague, Derek Gould, when he wrote his first story about this today, pardon me, I think I'm catching a little cold or something. He alluded to the fact that Wynn may be the favorite to win. And I agree with that. I don't think Derek is overstating it. But it's kind of a tricky situation because it depends on how the vote is already in. They just haven't announced the winner. They announced the finalist, then they'll announce the winner later on as the offseason gets rolling. But it really depends. The whole Gold Glove thing is, to me, very subjective. Now, I give Rawlings and MLB credit for, you know, they have incorporated metrics. They have incorporated statistics. And that basically comprises 25% of the criteria. They're asking the voters. And the voters, specifically in the National League, are NL managers and coaches. There's no writers. There's no fans. It's the managers and coaches. And sometimes we say, well, that's right, because they know the game. They played the game. They managed the game. But no, they come up with some doozies at times, right? Just like any other human being is trying to evaluate baseball. I remember one year Brad Ausmus won the Gold Glove over Yadier Molina. And I'm looking at all these different things like throwout rate. And just, I mean, and I'm like, what the hell were they looking at? I mean, oh, man. Anyway, that's one example that always obviously sticks in my mind. All right. So let's talk. It depends what So the managers and the coaches have 75% of the say in this. Their ballots will determine this, have determined this. And to me, it comes down to, well, what do they look at? Do they take the statistics that were provided, and do they base a lot of their opinion evaluation on that? Do they base their opinion of where to vote for the shortstops in the National League? Do they base that on the so-called eye test? Maybe managers and coaches, the same team that played the Cardinals a lot of times. And by the way, if you're a manager, coach, you can't vote for one of your own players. But maybe if your manager and a coaching staff played the Cardinals a bunch of times, or you caught the Cardinals at a time where Mason Wynn was just playing crazy good shortstop, it may have left an impression, because he at times was spectacular. He's dazzling in many ways. He's got exceptional athleticism. He's got that rocket arm, one of the strongest in the big leagues. It's so powerful. He plays hard. He plays really hard. He's tough. He's 22 years old. And if you're just going by the wow factor, I think Mason Wynn's got a good chance, but I'm not sure it'll break down that way. I just don't know. And by the way, I guess it's a good time for me to mention the other finalists, you think? Dansby Swanson of the Cubs and Ezekiel Tovar of the Rockies. And both of those guys are worthy of being finalists. So why would Mason win it? Now, listen, just for your information, I wrote a column about this a little while ago at scoopswithdannymac.com or scoopsnetwork.com. So I'm not really double dipping here, you know, because I think, you know, the written word and video, you can talk about the same subject, but basically it's two different worlds. And I was able to elaborate more, you know, in the written form of my opinions on this Gold Glove race and the Cardinals who figure in it. Okay, why would Mason Wynn get this Gold Glove? He's the most dazzling of the three finalists. He turned more heads, made more, can you believe that, type plays. And many a time we were all watching games and Mason Wynn comes up with this rocket throw that he gets the runner by a half step. And a lot of times the runner will, like, after he's obviously out, will just kind of, like, when he pulls up, he'll, like, look towards Mason Wynn like, dude, did you just do that? He really makes that kind of impression. I mean, he's an entertaining shortstop. He's a really entertaining shortstop. There's a flair to his game, but it's not a forced flair. It's kind of a natural flair. And he is really entertaining to watch. And he's really, really, really good. For some of the numbers, Wynn led. And again, this is all like pick your stat, right? Because it's kind of all over the place, as I'll explain. Wynn led National League shortstops with 14 defensive runs saved, which was well ahead of Tovar, who had 9 defensive runs saved, and Swanson, who had 7 defensive runs saved. I went to StatHead, which is part of Baseball Reference, and it's a great research material, I should say. And the Baseball Reference formula for defensive wins above replacement, they're just rating how valuable someone's defense is. That's the translation on that. They rated him number one among National League shortstops with about 2.5 defensive runs of value, runs saved, runs taken away. Looking at defensive run save and looking at the Baseball Reference formula, the StatHead formula, you know, there's at least two respected entities that Sports Info Solution with defensive run saved, which I've always used a lot. So you have two pretty credible, respected entities that tell us by their formula, by their metrical standard, Mason Wynn was the best shortstop in the National League. And getting to that defensive wins above replacement, as I mentioned, Wynn's number one in the National League at shortstop. Tovar was second and Swanson was fourth. There's another metric. I won't bore you with that. There's another metric where Wynn was number one among shortstops. Despite being sixth among National League shortstops for most innings played this season. You know, he missed some time here and there because of that lower back issue. So he was sixth in the National League in innings there. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying there are five other guys who played more innings. So even though Wynn was sixth in innings played at the position in the National League, he finished second in assist, second in double plays, and also came out looking really good in some other areas. And I still scratch my head and say, gosh, he's 22 years old. If you don't win the gold this year, he's got one coming. I know that. So why wouldn't Mason Wynn win it, right? He certainly has a strong case, and the way he plays the position is visually striking. It gives you an impression that kind of stays in your head, right? But there are many ways you can evaluate defensive play, any position, but we're talking shortstops right now. Many ways to evaluate and analyze. And there are other NL shortstops that are rated higher than Mason Wynn in some of those other categories. Now, I'm just putting it out there because I don't have a Fred Bird head to put on here. Okay. I try to be objective and I try to play it straight. Yeah. I'd like to see Mason Wynn win the gold glove because I think he's just a great player, you know, and he's just a dazzling, dazzling shortstop. Where you just go there to look, just his defense is really entertaining. But if we're going to play this by the book and play it straight, there are some other defensive system that has Mason Wynn down on the charts a little bit. Well, first of all, if you want to go old school, and I know many of you are still in old school, and that's cool. Tip of the cap to you. No insults here. That's why I mention it, out of respect. Mason Wynn committed 18 errors this year. Now, listen, I do not trust official score rulings, you know, because it's really subjective. I've seen all the years I was in press boxes, just scratch my head all the time. It's like, what? What do you mean that's an error? You know, that kind of thing. Or a guy would not get charged with an error, even though it was a very obvious and blatant error. So you're depending on people to be objective in all these National League cities. But anyway, all these cities, major league cities. Mason Wynn, 18 fielding errors. That was the fourth most among National League shortstops. Swanson only had 5 errors. Tovar was right around that with 8 errors. So, yeah, Mason Wynn committed a lot more errors than those guys. Now, how much do you value errors over some other, like how many points do you take away from Wynn because of the rather high errors total, which I don't think was an enormous errors total because he gets to so many balls and he's in play. He's all over it. So he does have so much confidence in that arm. Sometimes he maybe uncorks a throw that he should. So you have the StatCast stuff. Now the StatCast model has outs above average, which is primarily based on a fielder's range. And I'll be honest with you. I think very highly of StatCast, but there are some things that StatCast comes up with. And I know that their methodology is correct. But the first half of the year, especially, when I would see this outs above average rating, which is primarily, I don't know if I said this or not, pardon me, primarily based on range. You know, how much ground do you cover? And Mason Wynn's ratings were really, really low in that regard. And I know that StatCast actually measures this. There's a way to measure this. This isn't any guesswork. But it still confounded me. Because when I think of Mason Wynn, I think of a guy who covers a lot of grounds. But again, that's maybe just an impression in your mind, and it's not borne out by the facts, right? But outs above average, primarily range, Swanson was first, Francisco Lindor, the Mets, was second, Tovar was third, Wynn, surprisingly, ranked seventh just in the National League among shortstops in outs above average. There's nothing wrong with his range, okay? If you look at StatCast and you look at the percentile ratings, Mason Wynn was in the top 17% for shortstop range, all major league shortstops. And there's nothing wrong being in the top 17%. But other shortstops displayed, based on outs above average, they displayed better range if you buy what StatCast does. For example, Dansby Swanson was in the top 1% of range, pretty much the best that you can have. Tovar was in the top 2%. Lindor was in the top 2%. And so Wynn has good range, but based on StatCast, these guys have great range. I'm just pointing that out. There's also a StatCast metric called fielding run value. Okay, what sort of as it sounds, how valuable was his field, his defense? How should we mark it? Wynn was sixth among National League shortstops. Swanson was number one. Tovar was fourth. I forget who was second and third. I know Joey Ortiz of the Brewers was up there in some categories. I got my positions. I'm going to get to Joey Ortiz later. I'm not sure. That Lindor was probably in there too. See, I'm confusing things. Maybe it's time for a nap. Swanson was rated number one and Tovar fourth and Wynn sixth in fielding run value. Then there's an old standard. It's been around a long time. It's called ultimate zone rating. Before there's any of this other stuff, people who thought they were being progressive with the advancement of stats in baseball would always go to ultimate zone rating. Wynn was eighth among National League shortstops. He was also sixth. Fangraphs puts together a defensive composite. He was also sixth in the defensive composite put out there by Fangraphs. So you see what I'm saying about this? It's like it depends on where you go shopping for your information. If I want to be a Mason Wynn homer, if I want to put on the Fred Bird head, I would just say, well, defensive run save. He led all National League shortstops by a wide margin. That's all I need to know. You know, you could do that. All that fancy schmancy that defensive wins above replacement. I don't even know what it means, but hey, Baseball Reference, really respected. I go to Baseball Reference. They said he was the best shortstop in the National League. That's good enough for me. But if you're advocating for Swanson, especially Swanson, and then Tovar, you can find stuff on your guy that you can elevate and make a case on. So that's what's so tricky about this. You and I may have different standards, or maybe perhaps within our group here on the Bernie Show channel, we even have different standards. I'm telling you kind of how this thing's all over the place. And it gets down to, really, I think it's down to what the managers and the coaches who voted, how they saw Wynn and these other shortstops and what their conclusion is. And what is their reference point? Is it seeing these guys in person? You're in the other dugout watching them perform, but in some cases, you don't play, you know, every team a bunch of times. So you're going to have limited opportunities to watch a guy play. And I know, you know, when I was covering Tony La Russa all those years, in fact, I'd sit in his office late at night because he'd like to stay in his office late and watch West Coast games. And so I know that depending on a manager's post-game habits, some of them will sit around and watch baseball. I always thought that that was a good thing. But what's the reference point for the managers and the coaches who voted? They already voted. What's their reference point? What's their go-to? What are their standards? Do they obsess over the error totals, for example? Is it defensive wins above replacement? Is it defensive run save? Is it outs above average? UZR, these things already mentioned. There's a lot of gobbledygook here, okay? Even though I like the gobbledygook, I don't hesitate to call it gobbledygook. It ain't easy to navigate your way through the gobbledygook, right? So we will all find out how the managers and the coaches feel about it when the outcome is announced. I will not be outraged if Mason Wynn does not win it. I just won't, because I respect the performances by some other shortstops. It depends on where you go shopping for your stats and your metrics, maybe to support your guy, right? I will be disappointed if he doesn't win, because I watch a lot of baseball and I thought, you know, this guy's, yeah, too many errors, and maybe that disqualifies him, or not disqualifies him. Maybe that downgrades him. I don't know. Not for me. Now, if he had 35 errors, sure. So what is the criteria that, the managers and the coaches who voted, what do they value the most? We'll find out, right? Because I don't know. Secret ballots, can't disclose them. All right, let's do a couple of these other ones really quick, if I can be quick. That's hard for me to do. Nolan Arenado is nominated, or he's a finalist for the Gold Glove at third base. Now, he's already won 10. Maybe that helps him. Maybe it doesn't help him. So Arenado is a finalist. Notes. The other finalists at third base are Matt Chapman of the Giants and Ryan McMahon of the Rockies. So why would Nolan Arenado win it? He's won 10 of these things. It's amazing total. It really is. And he is on the short list of the greatest defensive third baseman in the history of the game. And this is evidenced by all those Gold Glove awards, Platinum awards. He had a down year defensively in 2023. By his standards, it was lousy, even though he finished like a plus one defensive run save. But he raised that to 6 defensive run save this year. And I think in the second half, he was really good. He reminded me of sort of the vintage Arenado. But again, we're talking about the second half of the season. We're not talking about the entire season. I think his defense kicked in as the season went along. And so, but compared to 2023, he improved in all these areas: defensive run saved, outs above average, and fielding run value. Arenado is a historically prominent third baseman and widely respected by people who play the game and manage and coach the game. And sometimes the rep will get you some votes. Sometimes the rep means you'll get somebody's on the fence. They're not sure which way to go. It's like, oh, well, heck, we all know Arenado's a great shortstop. I can't read minds, but I'm just saying reputation does factor into this. Is it enough to get Arenado a Gold Glove, which would be number 11? I don't think so. Here's why I would say, if you ask me, okay, well, why wouldn't he win his 11th Gold Glove? If you look at defensive run saved, and again, that's my preferred stat. It doesn't mean it has to be your preferred stat. Matt Chapman ranked first in the position in the National League at plus 17 defensive run save. McMahon was second, plus 10 defensive run save. Then Joey Ortiz was third. Milwaukee's good young player. I think he'll be their starting shortstop next year. They got him from Baltimore in that trade from Burns. Joey Ortiz was a plus 7. And then next came Arenado, who was fourth among National League third basemen with a plus 6 in defensive run save. Nothing wrong with being fourth, but it doesn't exactly shout to the world that you're the best, right? Outs above average. Chapman and Ortiz were tied at first at plus 11. Arenado was third at plus 9. If you go fielding run value, same deal. Chapman and Ortiz are tied for first. Arenado is third. Ultimate zone rating. McMahon led the National League third baseman in that. Chapman was second. Other third basemen who were rated better than Arenado, and frankly, I don't buy it, but I'm just telling you. Eugenio Suarez of the Diamondbacks, Alec Bohm of the Phillies, and Ortiz. Arenado ranks 7th in ultimate zone rating. So my conclusion, or the conclusion, or my best guess, there. Listen, Matt Chapman's got a heck of a strong case. I mean, he really does. I can't sit here with any kind of, making an attempt to be honest and objective. I can't sit here and say that Arenado deserves this over Chapman, even a couple other fellows, just because he improved and had a kind of a bounce back season defensively, right? That improvement's nice. It was good, right? It's fun to see again. But that doesn't mean he was the best third baseman in the National League defensively, and I don't think he was. All due respect, and I mean that sincerely. All right, the final one is Brendan Donovan. You know, he won the first ever utility fielder award, and it was not part of the Gold Glove voting or in the process until 2022, and he won the first one. He was a rookie. Other finalists are Enrique Kiki Hernandez of the Dodgers and Jared Triolo of the Pirates. All right. Now I'm going to sound kind of snotty here, and I don't mean to, because when I asked the question, okay, why would Brendan Donovan win this award? To be truthful with you, I don't know why he would win this award. I like him a lot, man. He's probably one of my favorite Cardinals, the way he plays the game, including defense, and the fact you can deploy him in a lot of other positions. He played 817 innings in left field, 421 at second base, 53 at third base, and he's one inning out in right field. If you use defensive runs saved as a measure, he played fine defense in left field, but technically was just a little bit below average. His best work came at second base, where he was slightly above average, and he scored well at second base in outs above average and fielding run value. That said, Donovan was not ranked in the top six of those categories among National League second basemen. But it's not a second base award. It is a utility fielder award. So I get that. But it's just that the other two guys were much better playing utility positions and much better playing defense at those positions than Donovan was in 2024. It's really as simple as that. In 2022, you know, Donovan played above average defense at third base, left field, right field. He was league average at second base and first base. I mean, he had 10 defensive runs saved moving around. If you add it all up, 10 defensive runs saved in 2022. This year, again, moving all around, because you can, you know, pick up defensive runs saved at any position. You total them all up. He had 10 in 2022. Only one this year. Is that Gold Glove material? Seriously, if we're being objective, I don't think it is. The bigger reason why he wouldn't win it is because Hernandez and Triolo were superior defensively. Triolo was a plus six in defensive runs saved, and he was above average at second base, third base, and right field, little below average when they used him at shortstop. I think Kike Hernandez was a marvel for the Dodgers. Given the day, this game situation, his ability to just go wherever you want to put him on the field, he played first base a lot. He played second base a lot. He played third base a lot, shortstop, left field, center field, six different positions. And he was rated above average at four of those positions. He was rated above average. And the other two, he was exactly at league average. So here's a dude that put in hard work at six different positions, right? And he wasn't below average in any of them. The worst you could say that he was average at two of the six, but above average at four of the six. I mean, when I think of utility fielder, and they're becoming more prominent or more prevalent in baseball, but when I think of them, that profile I just offered to you about Hernandez, that's a Gold Glove utility fielder right there. No disrespect to Brendan Donovan, but it's just no way. If people are taking this vote seriously, there's just no way. Because Hernandez really stood out. All right, that's going to do it. And I appreciate your patience as always. You see Tony La Russa, oh, wrong shoulder. Tony La Russa and Stand a Man over there. Books. See, over that shoulder. There we go. Got that right. Fine. So anyway, enough of that. You've seen enough of the bookshelves. I'm sure I'll get some snarky comments. It's okay. I don't blame you. It's fun. We'll be back tomorrow morning here on The Bernie Show. Thank you.